You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We've been teaching the book of Hebrews for several weeks now, and doing a chapter, most of the time a chapter, a session. I think this is our third or fourth session on chapter 11. What is this, third one? Third session on chapter 11. And I don't really see any daylight here as far as us getting through with this tonight, but it could happen. Miracles do happen. Are you with me? But we're going to go through the whole book. We want to finish the book of Hebrews. It's just so rich. You know, a lot of people will say, not in this church, not our church, well, I wish we'd get off that book study and start teaching on things we really need to hear. Well, this book is what we preach on, even if we're not preaching on this book. When you think about it, if you're teaching on faith, you're going to be in Hebrews. If you're teaching on standing on the Word of God, confessing the Word of God, you're going to get over in Hebrews 11. So although we're doing a book study, we're also doing topical studies or subjects as we're going through it, because it is the Word of God that we preach when we're preaching on a subject, even. Whether it's a book study or whether it's a topic that we're teaching on. So I think the good part of book studies is you're not only getting the topic that we're teaching on, but a very good sense of the context of what it is being said. Because with a book study, you're getting a whole letter. You're getting a whole, you know, from front to back. Hebrews 11, the writer of Hebrews is listing people that believed God, that trusted God. And as we brought out the other night in Hebrews 11:3, these were men and women who by faith changed their world. Now, that's something to chew on and think about if you weren't here in that session. Might be a little new to you. But I believe the context of Hebrews 11:3 is that these were people who changed their times and their seasons that they lived in with the Word of God. You say, well, I thought it was talking about God. Well, actually, it doesn't really say that. I mean, did God make the world? Yes, He did. Did He do it with His Word? No question. That's true. But I believe in context of this Scripture, He's talking about people who by faith actually changed the world that they were living in. That world is not earth or planets or suns or moons. That world is ages. It is the Greek word aeon. It means times, seasons, ages. And so what these people did, by faith, we understand that the ages that they lived in, the times they lived in, were framed, which means to restore, to repair. Yes. When God made the world, He didn't repair the world. So it's not talking about God making the earth. Are you with me? It's talking about a dispensation or age. You know, there's something wrong with the age that we live in. You know what we're here to do? To repair, to restore, to fix it. You know what these men and women did in Hebrews 11? They changed their time. They saw a problem and they fixed it. How? Through faith. Faith in what? God's Word. Through faith, we understand that their ages that they lived in were restored, repaired, and fixed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen, the result of Abraham's faith, the result of Enoch being translated, the result of the ark that Noah built and changed his time and saved his family, hallelujah. The result of that we see was not made by things which do appear. It was made by their faith in God's Word. Woo, that's powerful. Anyway, we taught a whole message on that and talked about that. And then he begins to list these people of faith and what they did, their conquest individually, what they accomplished. Talks about Abraham here in the 8th verse. And we talked about Abraham from the 8th to the 11th verse. How he obeyed God and went out by faith. Didn't know everything, but he knew God told him to go. You know, you don't know everything when God tells you to do something. You just need to make sure you heard the word go.
That's right.
I have no idea when God told me to come to Wills Point, Texas, that we would be doing exactly what we're doing today. All I knew is He said, go to Wills Point, Texas and start a church. Are you with me? Many of you, some that are here today, joined with us. And God put it on your heart to be a part of a new church here. Didn't know where we're going, but God said come. Anytime you get involved in a church, you need to know God told you to go there. You know, that's why I tell people all the time that visit. A lot of times they'll come up and they say, well, we're praying about a church. And I say, well, I'll pray with you. God will show you where it is. And if it's this one, come on. We'd love to have you. And if it's not, you don't want to come here, and we wouldn't want you here anyway. Stay with me. I don't say that mean in a bad way. I want people to know that God placed them in a church. And they need to know that. I can't make that decision. You need to have a witness in your heart. And if you're just looking for certain things in a church or looking for certain things, well, no, that's not going to... Listen, You need to wait. You need to have the Spirit of God move on you and say, this is where I want you to be. And you will know that when you're there. I believe, of course, a church should move you if it's right and it's where you should be. Should move you to holiness. It should move you to worship God. Are you with me? It should do that, yes. The anointing should be present and tangible. You should sense it. There should be a charge in you, a challenge in you, and a change in you. You ought to be challenged. You ought to be rebuked if you're in sin. You ought to feel conviction if you're in a church where the Spirit of God is. Not condemnation, but conviction if you're in sin. Hello. But you ought to feel love also. But all that being said, you know, when you're where you ought to be, you will know it.
Yeah.
And you don't need me to tell you that. Hello. You just know that. I didn't need anybody to tell me to come pastor this church. I just needed God to tell me, and that was it. In fact, everybody else telling me wouldn't have done any good anyway. Because when the bullets get to flying and the battle gets to, you know, raging, I can't stand on what someone else said. I got to know I heard God. And that's what's kept me through all the tough years. And we've had some tough years, and you've been here. But knowing that God has told us to go has kept us where we're supposed to be. And so Abraham did that, and he obeyed God. And as a result, his whole family was raised there and dwelt in the land of promises. Sarah miraculously bore a child, hallelujah, and received strength to conceive seed because she believed and judged him faithful who promised. Ooh, hallelujah, somebody. You know, we've been faithful, we've been committed, but you know what? God's been faithful. And you can always count on that. He'll always come through with his word. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a challenge. There's going to be a fight. But some things are worth fighting for. Some things are worth standing up for.
Amen.
If it's not worth standing up for and fighting for, it's not worth much anyway. But if you'll fight, you'll stand, you'll win. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm sorry to inform you that God loves you and He's for you and you can win the battles of life. But you can. Now, in the 12th verse, it says, therefore, let's just pick up there. Therefore meaning... Brother Osteen used to always say, when you see a therefore, stop and see what it's there for. And the way you do that, you back up. What did he say? What's he talking about? Then he says, therefore, in light of this, in context, he says, in light of Sarah's faith. Because he just got through saying in the 11th verse, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Have you believed the Bible? Have you know there's some wonderful promises in the Bible? How many, honestly, are times you think, I just wish I had that kind of faith? Yeah, sure, you honestly, that's honest. I mean, that's not an accurate statement, but I mean, we say that a lot, don't we? I wish I had faith somebody else had. I wish I could believe like they believe. I just wish I was that kind of person. Well, I got good news for you. You are that kind of person. You just, the devil's just lying to you and telling you you're not. The whole point of this chapter is these are all kinds of people, all different walks of life, ages, occupations, time periods they lived in, men, women, and you know what? They all believed God. And you can believe God too. Now, if it said they were intelligent, that might disqualify some of us. But that's not what they said. Come on now, stay with me. If they said they were good looking, that might disqualify some of us. Not me, I'm just talking about, you know, maybe some. Yeah. No, stay with me now. If they said they could all sing, well, you know, Tracy'd be, you know, she'd be in that bunch and Fran and some others, but I wouldn't make it. You know, there's some that would not make it if that's the qualification. But aren't you glad that's not what he said? If he said rich, well, there's some people that have more money than others. That might be a little challenging and intimidating for us. But he didn't say that. It says they did these things by faith. And we all have faith. Every one of us have it. We may not be using it. We may not feel like faith man or faith woman, but, you know, unless I've changed my voice, faith man, faith woman. But we do have faith. And faith's not a feeling. Faith's not what you feel like today. Faith's not the mood you're in right now. Faith has nothing to do with the pain you may be feeling because of a crisis or something going on. Faith is inherent in your spirit. It's inside of you. You have it. It's a matter of action. It's what you commit to. It's what you say, what you pray. It's what you stand on. It's how you walk and how you talk. It's not how you feel. It's not what's going on. It's not about all the whirlwind of activity going around in your mind. It's not about the emotions that you go through. We all have emotions. We all cry. We all hurt. We all bleed. You cut us, we bleed. Are you with me? But down in the core of our being, and we're Christians, believers, we can believe God.
That's right.
We can stand on the Word of God. And it says here, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. That promise that God made, He gave you the strength to conceive the seed, to bring it to pass. It's called faith. And by faith, Sarah, how did she do it? She did it by faith. She heard a promise, and the faith in her gave her strength to conceive that seed. And from that sprang, from one man, from Abraham and Sarah, from one man sprang by faith, therefore, because she believed, from one man, 12th verse, and him as good as dead, as far as giving birth to children or being able to, you know, to bring forth children, her and him, he's 100 and she's 90, him as good as dead, because of faith in God's Word. Y'all getting it? Therefore, from one man, Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Woo, how did that all happen? Because somebody believed. Woo. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what seemingly barren situation you're facing. You know, hopeless as far as any increase or productivity or our hope in the natural. Well, you know, there's a lot written about Abraham over in Romans, the 4th chapter. It talks about him and it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations as it was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I like that. If you want to become what is spoken, then you're going to have to believe. There's a lot spoken about you right here. It's all in here. But only as you believe do you ever become what is spoken about you. See, believing gives you the strength to conceive the seed. It gives you the strength to birth it, to manifest the promise. Ooh, hallelujah. Think about that. That's good. How do you manifest this Word? That's a good question. I've preached on that before, on manifesting God's Word. How does this Word, this promise, become flesh and dwell among us? Because it's there abstractly, theoretically, as a promise, but how do I get it working? Well, you know, there was an instance where someone was told something. Her name was Mary. And the Bible tells us that Gabriel came to Mary and said, she said, how shall this thing be? And he said, well, the Holy Ghost will overshadow thee, and that which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And for with God nothing shall be impossible. And she said this. She said, be it unto me according to your word.
Yeah.
And when she went and saw her cousin Elizabeth, remember Elizabeth in her old age gave birth to a son named John. John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. She was 6 months expecting with child when Mary went to see her. And when Mary walked in, the Bible says the babe leaped in her womb, Elizabeth's womb, and she shouted for joy and she began to prophesy. This is not a Presbyterian service. God bless Presbyterian. But she began to prophesy. She began to shout. And she said, blessed, talking about Mary, blessed, she says, there shall be a performance of those things which she was told by the Lord because she believed. Now put it all together. She believed, therefore what God said He will perform. Why will He perform it? Because she believed. How? She said, be it unto me according to your word. Now if you look it back up a little further, what happened there? Jesus was born. The word that was prophesied, all the prophecies about a Savior, about a Messiah, about the Lamb of God, about God, the Son of God coming to this earth, all that was written about Him came to pass into that little manger scene in Bethlehem that night when she gave birth. It all came to pass because back then, 9 months before that, she believed and she stood on God's Word and she conceived the seed. And that promise became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what it says about Jesus. It says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made. The 14th verse says, 1st chapter of John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. How did the Word become flesh and dwell among us? See, it might be another word for you. It might be a word of healing that you need. It might be a promise of peace that you need. It might be a financial blessing. I don't know. It might be just a soundness of mind. Maybe you're going through a confusing time. In 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has given us a spirit of, not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's a promise, see? But how do you manifest it? How does that become flesh and dwell among us? And how do we behold the glory of that? Got to believe. If you'll say, be it unto me according to your word, you will conceive strength. You receive strength to conceive seed. Hello. And all these promises are waiting to dwell among us. Get it? They're all waiting to manifest. They are words waiting to become flesh and dwell among us. Woo, hallelujah. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
And so God is waiting for someone to say, be it unto me according to your word. Lord, I got this crisis going on. Lord, I got that going on, that going on. But you know what? Be it unto me according to your word.
Amen.
Amen? And all of a sudden the word will start manifesting. And that's what happened to Sarah. An impossible situation. That's what happened to Abraham. An impossible situation. They couldn't have a child at that age. It was impossible, but God promised them that. And so at some point they believed God, and Sarah received strength to conceive the seed because she believed, and therefore, because of that, that's the reason. Don't miss the point. I mean, we throw you a fish, you'd eat for a day. But if you listen closely, God's trying to teach us how to fish.
That's right, amen.
Catch one anytime we need it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can tell the stories and we can rejoice in the story, but if we didn't see what kind of bait they used and how they cast that lure out there and what kind of water they're fishing in, all we do is just talk about that one day that miracle happened. Wasn't that a wonderful thing? And miss the whole point. He said all that to tell us how it happened. So we could duplicate the process. I'm not talking about having children in your old age. Just back up. We're talking about the promises coming to pass. Can I get an amen, somebody? Okay. All right, okay. I know what you may be thinking. Well, I don't want a kid right now. Are you kidding? Well, now I'm talking about the promises coming to pass. So, therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Man, what a miracle. How big is your need? I think about that a lot. You know, really, I'm going through something, and I got a crisis, and it's a mountain. Every need you have seems to be a mountain while you're going through it, doesn't it? Well, it's good to know you're not the only one going through it and not the only one has gone through it. And it's also good to know people have come out of it. And it's a whole lot better to know that God actually has a promise concerning that matter. And if you'll believe Him and trust Him, you can come out of that mess. But a lot of times I'll remind myself in the midst of a crisis, it seems like it's the end of the world. You ever notice how we just live from one crisis to the next?
Yeah.
World crisis. I mean, everything's a world crisis. At the time it's happening, it's a bad deal. But, you know, as days go by and years go by, we forget about most of the things that we just laid awake all night about. We couldn't even recall and remember all the things that we were so worried about our whole life. Are you kidding? I don't even want to go there because I couldn't handle that kind of pain anyway. If we brought up everything that I thought was the end of the world. But I often think about Moses backed up by that Red Sea. Really, I think about that and I go, you know, God split the Red Sea. How big is your problem? You know? Abraham and Sarah, how big is your problem?
Right.
Our God's still the same God. He's still just as big as He ever has been. He hadn't changed. He hadn't gone anywhere. He's still there just waiting on us to believe. Praise God. And all this is written for our benefit, for our example. I love the details in the story of Jesus' life. You ever notice the miracles that took place in Jesus' life? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And down to the conversations He'd have with people. I mean, when you look at the individual healings and miracles that took place in Jesus' life, there's a lot of information in there. That woman with the issue of blood fell down before him. The Bible says she came up and pressed and she grabbed a hold of his garment and she touched his garment and power or virtue came out of him and she felt in her body she was healed of the plague. Now, right before that, it says this woman, it tells you details about her. It says this woman had been to many physicians, was none the better, but rather grew worse. This is in Mark 5, about 25th verse, where it starts out there, 23rd through right on down. But it says she'd rather do worse. But she heard of Jesus. And she said within her heart, she said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole.
Yeah.
You ever wonder why all that detail's in there? I mean, what's the point? I mean, just tell the story. She got healed. Isn't that wonderful? No, He wants you to know how she got healed. He wants you to know the things that were going on in her heart, what she said, what she did. Why? So you could do the same thing. And if you go on, the story goes on. She comes, Jesus comes, she grabs the garment, she power comes out of Him, she feels in her body, she's healed of her plague. And Jesus turned and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, the whole multitude throngs, you have touched you, and you say, who touched me?" But see, somebody touched me in faith. That's a different kind of touch. And the woman, fearing and trembling, told all that she had done. That's why it's in there. Because she repeated everything to Him. In fact, if you were party or privy to that conversation, if you were a fly on the wall, what was written before she touched Him in Mark 5th chapter, what all those details she told Him when she fell down before Him. You know, probably went something like this. Jesus, she's fear, she's trembling. She's, "Jesus, I had this issue of blood 12 years and I had been to all kinds of doctors and they couldn't help me. But I heard about You, Jesus. I heard You were healing the sick and raising the dead. And I thought, Lord, if I could just touch You, I would get my healing. And I saw You come by with all these people. And I would not be denied, Jesus. I came through that press. I pushed through there in my condition. But I would not be denied. I came to You, Jesus. I grabbed Your garment. And Jesus' power came out of You and into me. And I am healed." And that's what happened.
Yeah.
See, that's, she told Him what happened. And the Spirit of God thought that was so important, He put that in the Bible. More than once. It's in Matthew's Gospel too. Jesus said, "Woman, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole." Isn't that good?
Amen.
I mean, to me, that just speaks volumes, not just the story, but the heart of God trying to get across to us that if we will trust Him and we will believe Him, that we can have that.
Amen.
There is no other reason for the detail. It's not necessary to make the story. Are you with me? It's there for us. You think about this. Why is all this in here? Why does He hammer this by faith, through faith? Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. Ooh, that's strong when you think about it. He's trying to tell us, if you'll believe. In fact, you know what leads into this? Just hold your place there. I mean, y'all getting something out of this? Right there in Hebrews 11. Back up a little bit in Hebrews 10, 35th verse. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." Which has great reward. "For you have need of endurance or patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." That's what leads into Hebrews 11. So when you start going through all these people that get these miracles and these healings and these things, deliverances and all these, he's telling us, don't you give up. Don't you quit believing. You be patient. You'll get it. It'll come. It'll come. Don't quit. Don't cast away. Don't throw away your confidence. Because it's your confidence in God, your faith in God, that's going to get the job done. And then he begins to talk about people that held on to their faith and didn't throw it away. And how they got the job done. They didn't even get born again. They weren't even saved. They didn't even receive the promise of eternal life. But they got a lot of other things in their lives. Hello. And he lists them over and over and over. I mean, deliverance in Noah's case. Enoch going to heaven. My goodness, Abraham going to a promised land. Sarah having a child. And Abraham having a child. Now, he goes on and says in the 13th verse. And this sounds a little confusing. I'll explain it to you. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise." He's talking about the promise of eternal life. They did receive the promises they believed for because he lists those. Are you with me? Abraham and Sarah did have the child. Noah did survive the flood. Enoch was translated. Are you with me? So that's not, he's not saying if you believe you won't get it. No, he's saying they didn't receive the promise of eternal life. In fact, hold your place there and go to the end of the chapter. 39th verse, 11th chapter, 39th and 40th verse. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. In other words, they didn't get saved until Jesus rose from the dead, and they all waited for that promise to come to pass. Now, they got a lot of promises that came to pass. And he lists them in their deliverances and their miracles. And so just keep that in context, because it seems a little confusing when you first read that. But you understand what he's saying there. They got promises by faith. You hold on to your faith. Are you with me? They didn't get eternal life born again because no one could be till Jesus came. And now we're born again because Jesus has already come. And they without us could not be made perfect because Jesus hadn't come yet. Are you with me? Okay, back up 13th verse again. Boy, this is getting gooder now. Y'all ready? From the 13th verse to the 16th verse, he lists what I would call characteristics of faith or attributes of faith, things that constitute faith, things that faith will do, that if you really believe in, this is what happens. And he goes on and says this, having seen them afar off, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. One thing about faith will show you things that are way out there. They're far off. They're not necessarily happening at the moment. They don't necessarily seem like they could ever happen at the moment or ever happen at all. But faith still sees them and detects them. Faith is like telescopic vision. Faith is far-seeing. You know, everything in the natural doesn't line up. There's no way you're ever going to come out of this. But faith sees it out. Faith always sees further than what you see momentarily at this day, this point, this juncture in the road. I think that's where we always mess up anyway when a crisis hits. We start planning our whole life out based on failure. And our life hadn't happened yet. Are you with me? But we've already making plans. Well, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen. I'm going to lose this and I'm going to lose that. And everybody's going to say this about me and my life is over. Well, first of all, nothing's happened yet. You've had a crisis. Don't start prophesying a negative future right now. If we're going to start prophesying, let's start prophesying coming out of the mess. Find the promise, start standing on it. My life's going to turn around. I'm going to be better. I'm not going to go under. I'm going to go over.
Right.
I'm ahead, not tail, above, only not beneath. Yeah. I can't lose with the stuff I use. Hallelujah. Come on. God's word's true. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how bad it looks. I am the child of the living God. I'm not going to let the devil ruin my life and my future and my destiny and my hope. My hope's in God, not in a situation or a crisis or this going on, that going on. It'll turn around. It'll turn around in the name of Jesus. I'm blessed and can't be cursed. I'm too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed. I've been blessed by the best. Hallelujah. See, if you're going to prophesy, if you're going to talk about what hadn't happened yet, why don't you start talking about the Word of God coming to pass? If you're going to talk about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, we'll get the Word of God, base it on something solid.
Yeah.
Instead of your fears and your feelings and your crisis. Hello.
Amen.
So faith sees far off. I like that. It sees things way out there. It's a far-seeing thing, faith is. And then it says, they saw the promises. Now what it sees is the promise, see. What it sees is God's promise, what God says. And it's sometimes far off. Sometimes it's way out there. If you just believe. I mean, it seems like the craziest thing in the world right now. Just the most unrealistic, you know. But let me tell you about realistic. The most real thing is God's Word. And the most realistic thing you can do is believe it. When every circumstance and everybody else says it can't happen, God says it can. Are you with me? And nothing is impossible to God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. You know where that's quoted? That's over in Luke where Gabriel told Mary. He said, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He just made a statement. God said all these things. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know what? This will blow you away. You ready to get blown away? Are you sure? I don't think you can handle this. This may be too much for you. Are you sure you want this? You want to hear this? You know what that word nothing is? In the Greek, you know what it is? You'll never get it. This will blow. I just don't know. I'm going to have to sit down. No, wait a minute. No? No, it's not that simple. It's actually pretty deep. The word nothing is rhema.
Wow, really?
Spoken word. I don't know why they translate it nothing, because that's not what it is. And what Gabriel was saying was that nothing God speaks is impossible. Wow, that changes it entirely, doesn't it? So anything spoken, any of God's words spoken is possible. But if it's not spoken, probably won't happen. And Gabriel just spoke something. See, that's the whole point he was making. He just spoke something. He said, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing spoken. And if God spoke it, it's going to happen. Now, what we've got to get you to do, me to do, is speak it. Because if we'll speak it, if we'll rhema. Rhema is, see, logo generally, logos, so logos generally is the written word. And rhema is generally the spoken word. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith you understand the words were framed by the word of God. That word is rhema. They were framed by what? Spoken words. Those ages that these people lived in were changed and restored and repaired and fixed by speaking words, by speaking God's word. And anything you speak in God's word is possible. Woo! Man, that's powerful. That's just better than y'all are shouting. I mean, that's better preaching than y'all are shouting. In fact, I'm going to build a whole sermon on that verse. I saw that the other day and I thought, man, I'm going to have to teach on that. That is just, how did I miss that in all these years? I never saw that in my life. I was doing a little search on Rhema. I was just studying Rhema out, Rhema. And I saw that. I thought, that can't be. Is that right? And I went back and checked it out in the Greek and that's what it is. Wow. It kind of changes that whole thing up, doesn't it? All right, okay. Let me finish this out. Now, I'm not fixing to finish it out right now, but I am headed that direction. I want to get down to the 16th verse. Now, the 13th verse says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but now characteristics of faith, attributes of faith. It says, but having seen them afar off, because that's what faith does. Faith sees things afar off. We're assured of them. Faith is also assured of what it sees. Not what it feels, not what's going on, not the crisis. But faith, a characteristic of faith is that it's always assured of the promise. Well, I just don't know what's going to happen. No, faith doesn't talk that way. Faith says, well, I know what God says, and that's what's going to happen. Faith, I see it. I see something everybody else not seeing here. See, I can see God's Word out there. And you know what? I am assured of it. Yeah, but this happened, that's happened. Well, see, that doesn't give me any, I don't have any confidence in that at all. That doesn't assure me of anything. God's Word, that's where my assurance is. Well, don't you see all this? Oh, yeah, I see all that going on, but see, that's not what I'm basing my faith on. I'm basing my faith on a promise that I see out there. So faith is far-seeing, and faith is confident in what it sees. That's right over there. It's just right over there. I see it right over there. What? What are you talking about? It's right over there. Oh, you're crazy. No, I'm not. It's right over there. I believe it. It's right over there. Come here. I'll show it to you. Hello? You don't believe me? Just come with me. Let's go over there. It's right over there. I can see it right over there. I don't see a thing. Well, you need to come over here. You're not close enough to it. And the more you walk to it, the closer you get to it. And the closer you get to it, the better you see it. And things become clearer by approach. Isn't that true? So you just keep walking by faith. And the more you walk by faith, the bigger it gets. Because you see it clearer. Because it's getting closer. Hallelujah. Amen. But you've got to be assured of it. You will never walk that way.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello. Sometimes it's just a little old thing on the horizon. But that's all right. I still see it. And I'm assured of it. And it goes on and says this. It says, having seen them, the promises, afar off, were assured of them, the promises, and embraced them. Ooh, I like that. Reaches out and embraced. That word embrace means to, actually in the Greek, that means to welcome. Come on. Salute. That's another word that's translated from that same Greek word. You greet it. You embrace it. You welcome it. And you can almost say you invite it in one sense. To embrace something is to be intimate with it. If you want to be intimate and personal with the promise of God, faith will make you intimate with the promise. It'll cause you to wrap your arms around it. Faith in God will cause you to welcome the promise of God. In fact, without faith, promises aren't very welcome. That's powerful, isn't it? I mean, that's just that's what faith is. Faith is, that's the characteristics of it. You know, I got to thinking about this and kicking it around. I like to play around with words, you know. And in fact, I wrote a poem on faith one time about F-A-I-T-H. For all I trust Him is my creed. At every turn He meets my need. I, in every situation, He's my salvation. T, through battles great and small, He brings me through them all. H, here's the knowledge on which I act. His truth is absolute fact. Now, give you a little more insight. The first line is faith spelled out. For all I trust Him. And the last line was faith backwards. His truth is absolute fact. I just had some fun with it, you know. And then I started each line with each letter. But faith is, for all I trust Him. Are you with me? And so here I was playing around with this, looking at this, thinking about faith, and I saw here that faith is a farseer. That'd be the F. And faith, of course, is assured. That'd be the A. And where it says embrace, it invites, and it's intimate. That'd be the I. And it says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they turned, in other words, from their past, and they talked God's word. That'd be the T. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind, they were mindful of something, they had their head right. That's the H. They had their head full of God's word. It says, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly country. They're headed to heaven.
Amen.
So faith, F-A-I-T-H, it's a far-seeing thing, what faith is. It gives assurance. That's what the A is for. It invites, and it is intimate with the promise. T, it turns from its old life. Because it says they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I don't belong to this earth, and I don't belong to that problem. I don't belong to that cancer, and I don't belong to that lack, and I don't belong to that confusion, that depression. I am not of that. I am of heaven. I've come from God. I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. I got a new daddy, and I got a new kingdom. If I'm going to embrace anything, I'm going to embrace the promises of God. The promise of God and I, we belong together. We were made for each other. We were. See, and where I used to be, that's not who I am anymore. I don't belong there anymore. I come out of that. I'm forgetting the things that are behind, and I'm going pressing toward the mark of the prize of the calling, the high calling of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going for the promise. I'm headed for the promise.
Amen. Wow.
I'm mindful, not of my past or of the pain, but I'm mindful of the promise.
Yeah.
Now, if I fill my mind back up with the past, I'll have opportunity to go back there, but I'm not going there. Faith has a head full of the Word. And faith is headed toward heaven. So, 14th verse, they that say such things. What things? I don't belong to this world. I don't belong to this mess. Maybe a mess going on, but I don't belong to it. I belong to God. Are you with me? See, we're not denying that problems are there. We're just saying they don't belong to us. I always wonder about it. Everybody's always claiming every problem. My headache, my cancer, my this, my. That's not yours. That's the devil. Why are you claiming, laying claim to it? What are you grabbing a hold of it for? You putting your name on it and say, don't you touch it. That's my cancer. No, it's not. It's the devil trying to get you to take it. My headache. Don't claim it. Maybe your head aches, but it's not your headache. It's your head, but the ache's not yours. Are you all catching what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we do it so subtly because we just talk that way. My arthritis. My allergies. When did you order them? I'm just wondering when you ordered the allergy and got the allergy and put your name on it, yours. And do you have a title deed or something to it? I'm just curious. I mean, where did you stake your claim to the thing? That's what I'm wondering, you know. No, it's just the way we talk. I mean, we just claim all the wrong stuff, and we ought to be saying, no, my healing. Hello? Oh, I got an ache here, but it's not my ache. I'm coming against that ache. Y'all catching this? Well, it's just my depression. It's not your depression. Maybe you're fighting and you're going through, but it's not yours. You come against that in Jesus' name. Get us to pray with you. We'll pray with you. Go take some medicine. Nothing wrong with that. Go to the doctor. Get rid of that thing. Quit trying to hold on to it. Sometimes we feel like we deserve to be sick, you know. We've had a rough week, and we had a lot going on this week, and now I'm sick, and I'm going to lay down. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to give me a big bowl of soup, and I'm going to lay down here and just be sick all day long. Chicken noodle soup. I'm going to put on some blues records, you know, because that's what you do when you're down. I'm going to sing the blues all day long. Just enjoy this disease, you know. Oh, come on, man. Call me up. Call somebody up and pray for you. Let's get healed. Okay. Let's get off that, huh? Okay. See what they confessed. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't lay claim to this earth or the things in this earth. And he's talking about the problems, the crisis, and tragedies and so on. For those who say such things clear plainly, they seek a homeland, something better. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they'd come out of, they would have opportunity to return to it. Listen, if you have a past of drugs or alcohol or any kind of abuses or addictions, whatever they may be, it could be anything. Don't you keep bringing that up. You know something you don't hear in this church? I don't talk a lot about my past before I got saved. If I do, I just talk about how I got saved. I'm not interested in going over all the dumb, stupid things that I did before I knew Jesus. I'm not proud of it. It's not cute. Are you with me? And I often hear people, they'll laugh and cut up and talk about how they used to be so, you know, get drunk and all. Listen, I've been there, and I'm ashamed of it. I ruined a lot of lives living that way. Hello? I ruined a lot of lives living that way. And I don't like to think back on those days. I want to think on what God has done. I remember when I accepted Jesus. I remember when He washed my sins away. I remember when I got in church and turned my whole family around. I remember that day. I remember when Jesus changed my destiny, my life, my future. I will always remember that. I love to tell the story. Amen. I love to tell that story. That's what I'm proud of. And I'm not proud that I did anything. But if I'm going to brag, I'm going to brag on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not mindful of who I used to be. Who I used to be wasn't me.
That's right.
I can see pictures of that person. That's not me. I hear stories. That's not me. No, that was before I got saved. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus now. I can't even think that way. I don't live that way anymore. And I'm not mindful of that. I'm not that old person saved. That old person's dead. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And this is a new day. Hallelujah.
Yeah, right.
It's a good feeling, really, when you think about it. It'll help you if you get it straight. Start talking about what God's done in your life. Amen? And don't, because you don't want an opportunity to return to that. I don't want to go back there. Because you can even start talking about thinking about some of the good moments, because everybody had good feelings and good. See, the pleasure of sin is for a season. And you can start talking about the drugs or the, you know, or alcohol or whatever. Maybe there was a high or some good feeling there. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you what I remember. I remember that empty feeling. That's what I remember. I remember that hopelessness. That's what I remember. I remember no purpose. That's what I remember. I remember waking up not knowing how I got there. I remember that. I'm not going back there. I'm not going back there. No. I am going forward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember when I got saved. I remember times the Holy Ghost has come on me. And it's been nothing but good. The Holy Ghost has been nothing but good to me. Nothing but good. Never hurt me. Never messed up my family. Always blessed me. Always helped me. See, that's what I'm mindful of. I'm desiring something better than that. I want what the Holy Ghost wants for me. I want what God wants for me. That's what they said. Okay, I'll close this out. This helping you? 15 verse. Truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, a heavenly country. That's what I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about the way it used to be. I'm going to talk about where I'm going. Hallelujah. I'm too busy going down the road. Hey, I'm on this train. We're coming down the tracks. You want to jump on board? Come on, but you better get off because we're coming down the tracks. Get out of the way or jump on or something, but we're not stopping. We're going forward. Amen? And with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm on that glory train. This train is bound for glory. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, 16th verse, in closing for the night. Not having come any close to finishing the chapter, but we'll pick it up later. But now they desire better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He has prepared a city for them.
Amen.
Wouldn't you love that to be said about you? God's not ashamed to be called my God. Oh, hallelujah. I want to hear that when I get there. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But because they stood, because they believed, because they resisted the flow of the world, because they wouldn't connect with that old life and that old past, and they kept standing on the promise, they saw it afar off, they embraced it, they welcomed it, they confessed, they were assured of it, and they didn't dwell on the past, they kept looking forward. God is not ashamed to be called their God. And if you'll stand up in the midst of your trouble, if you'll fight and not give in, if you'll believe God and not be carried down with the current of the world and the problems and the crisis and the whirlwind of activities going on in your life, if you'll stand there against it and you'll say, no, not me. I'm going to serve God and I'm going to have the promise of God in my life. God will not be ashamed to be called your God. And I believe that's us. Amen? That's just who we are. We're believers. That's just what we do. We believe God.